How are you today? All right, fine, I hope. This is Carl, your husband, the guy you never hear from often enough. I'm sorry that you don't hear from him every day, but he thinks of you every day, and he sends you his love every day in his prayers, but that ain't like listening to the old maestro croon to you, is it? I'm sorry that I haven't written sooner. I've been real busy, and I've just got my timing off. You know, the time that I usually write my letters is after dinner, and I've been taking Vietnamese course, and he comes at 7:30, and he gets through sometimes at 9, and I haven't been able to get with him till about 8 for all this since I've been back, and so we get through real late. But I should send you something, and I will. I'm just got to get organized. I think now I'm sitting here at 6 o'clock in the evening. No, 6:30, and I've got to run. I've got to go to dinner sometime between now and 7:30, I guess. But I'll see if I can't get a schedule so that when I come home from work, I can sit down and tape you a letter, and then I can get to you more often. It's just a matter of scheduling my busy schedule. I say busy, I think it's busy. I don't know whether it's busy or not. I keep hustling all the time. I've been up in Da Nang all day. I had to go get the payroll, and that's something. You mind if I drink coffee while I talk to you? That's another thing. I come home and I have some coffee laid out, and I come and have a jag of it to get myself back to battery and relax a minute. Well, anyway, today was another hectic day. I had to go get the payroll. Today, by the way, is Tuesday the 21st, and the payroll was due, I guess the pay period was up to the 15th. But when I got here, there wasn't any pay, and I waited, and I called Da Nang, and they said they didn't have it ready last weekend. So Sunday I called him, and he says, we'll have it ready for you tomorrow. And I said, why don't you send it down? I don't have time to go get it. And he said, well, nobody wants to carry that much money around. So I said, okay, I'll be up there Tuesday, and I'll call you tomorrow again. I called him Monday, and he said, yeah, the payroll's all ready. So I booked out on this morning's plane to go up there, and the darn thing didn't show up. So we were down there at 10:30 fooling around, and finally we come back, and somebody said the cargo plane's going up pretty soon. So we all run down there, and I got on the cargo, and we got up in Da Nang at 1:45. And so then I really had a tight schedule, because I had to leave the Cord's office at 3:30, and there was a dozen things I wanted to do, like go to the PX and get some tape, like I had to get the payroll, that was something, and I had to get some wine for these guys. The boss wants some kind of wine, and I did a little deadling around like that, and I got back and got the payroll and run and caught the bus. And the payroll, I just thought of a little thing, and I'm carrying $500,000 piastres around with me in a suitcase or in a valise. And let's see, I had 620,000 piastres in one payroll and 220,000, that's 800,000, and I had Yeah, I guess I had about 1,000,000 piastres. That's a lot of money to be floating around with. $10,000, something like that. But we went, jumped on the old plane, and I come back and had some very good luck today. And this, everything hit me good. With generator trouble, of course, is one of my big problems. And we've been sending wires to everybody in God's Green Acres to send us somebody to repair it. And I was up there, started to complain, and they said, one of the fellas said, "Here, I want you to meet this guy. You're going down the same plane, I guess." I said, "Yeah, who are you?" He said, I'm the generator repair guy from Saigon." So I said, "Man, you're the guy for me." I didn't let him out of my sight. Brought him back with me, and I'll get some generators looked at or repaired probably. You hear that cough? I got something down in my chest, honey. I might have had it. I don't know. I might be back with you sooner than you know. Because that thing has settled down there and I can't get rid of it. Well, anyway, I'm feeling pretty good. And them damn pills the doctor gave me, I don't know what they're doing. They're sure making my mouth dry. I'll take them for a couple of weeks, and then I'll, if they don't improve. But they might be helping me, I don't know. The other kind gave me a spirit lift, and it was a drug working. These don't have any drugs in them, and all they do is he said they'll sharpen you up, but you see how you take them. But well, tonight I came home and got off the plane, went and put my money in the safe, and come home and took a couple of guys up to mess hall. And then I came in here and I took a nice shower, and I thought, now, when am I going to write to Florence? And right now, there's no time like the present. So here I am telling you about all my generator problems. Really not having much to say that's interesting you, except, of course, that you know that everything I say is business, and but it's all surrounded and in all the love in the world. And everything, all my words and thoughts are filled with love and tenderness for you. Oh, man. Now, I might be back sooner than you think. Well, everything's going fine since I got back. Me and the boss and Ed Dillery, and everybody seems to be going along all right. Oh, we got a big operation going here. You'll probably read about it in the papers. It's been released for a week. It's called Russell Beach operation, or something else. I'll think of it later. But they've dropped about 8,000 Marines out here in our province, and they're circling a bunch of VC, and we've had to set up refugee camps. I say we, Team 17, Ed Dillery and Colonel Swearingen are doing most of the honchoing, and we got maybe 5,000 that was in last night, and they're cleaning out an area now. There'll be probably another 5,000 within a few days that we have to set in tents. And the refugee camp isn't too far from Quan Nai. It's just across the ridge, the river, that bridge that I point out on the pictures. To the right of the bridge is a big knoll called Buddha Mountain, and the refugee camp is being set up right there at the base of Buddha Mountain. I'll get in a helicopter one of these days and take some pictures of it and show you. Well, this is taking most all of our time, and whenever we have a big operation like this, we always have a lot of big shots coming in. They have to get in the act some way. Anyway, the reporters come in by the thousands or hundreds, and the big shots from the admirals, the generals, and all of those people come in. And then we have a lot of courts people that's usually involved up in it some way. But I think we kind of threw a sprag in the VC timetable. Reports were they were going to make a kind of an all-out push here in Quan Nai to bolster some of their courage. Well, they're kind of foolish in the first place with thinking they can do it, and they won't take a lesson from the experiences they've had before, because we got some good fighting men around here. And but anyway, they were supposed to hit this, and the military hit them first out here. They have maybe 1,000 or 1,500 trapped, and they'll probably get them some way. They'll have to dig them out of holes, of course. They tell me they captured a paymaster of one of the battalions, the VC battalions, and all his money. That'll hurt him a lot. There hadn't been many casualties, and the refugees that come in have been looking pretty good. They haven't been any wounded or shot up, but as the thing starts, the cordon starts to tighten up, then the bombs will start hitting in the closer places, and there'll be a lot of people that's going to be hurt unless they get out of there. But we run a psyops war first and spread a lot of leaflets around, say, come on, Joe, get out of there. We're going to come in and get you. All you families and all you kids and mothers, come on out here and we'll take care of you while we go in and get the bad guys. So then we have these big Chinook banana type two windmills, helicopters, the great big ones. They go in and load them up by the hundreds, bring them out. And that's why we had last night about 5,000 or more refugees. And this involves some logistics, like feeding them and getting water to them and putting a tent over them and getting them blankets. And it's no small job. And the guys that do it get a lot of help from everyone, of course. But that's where the help has to come from, the big guys in Saigon and Da Nang. And they do a good job. But we've been very fortunate. Our people have been doing all right. The boss just came in. Sorry, I was interrupted there for a few minutes and lost my trend here. But the boss just came in. While I was in Da Nang, I told you he wanted some wine, and I bought 5 bottles of wine and put in with my million piastres, and in a valise I have. And gee, he was real pleased with it. He said, that's exactly what I wanted. And I don't know any more about wine than you do. And he said, I'm having a dinner and I wanted some wines, and I'm inviting the colonels and some people. And so he's real happy about it. Well, that's good. There, I've done some good today. And that makes me feel real number one. I wish I was home. I'd take you out to the movie. I feel so good. I wish there was a movie.